We're setting ourselves up for tonight's three-hour Democratic debate in Houston. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Here's what we know. All the top candidates will be on stage for the first time. Another first is that former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Elizabeth Warren will face off for the first time. And then the placement of who stands where among front runners. Biden will be standing right between Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. So stage is set. Time for you and what you want out of tonight. Will you watch? Have you watched any of the primary debates so far? Have they made an impact on your future vote? We're at 800-642-1234. Margaret Hankinson is a political science professor at UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha. She teaches American government and civil liberties. Margaret, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So 3 hours seems a bit like an extravaganza, sounds like a marathon. What is the format for this 3 hours?
The format will be very similar to the format that we've had in the past. Candidates will be asked a series of questions hoping to dig in a little bit more deeply on some of the differences that they have on issues that are important to the Democratic voters in this nation.
Well, we've had 20 candidates on stage before for the first two rounds, and then now we've got 10. So that means that there should be more time for some explanations, some people to get some airtime here.
Well, the first two debates were over 2 days. And so while we did have 20 candidates, the first two debates on each night, there were only 10 candidates on the stage for each of those nights. So the format will be sort of similar in terms of at least the number of people that are going to be on the stage, 10 people. The big difference is that all 10 candidates who qualified for this third debate are going to be on the stage at the same time. And so we're going to see some matchups that we haven't seen before. In particular, I think the one matchup that a lot of people are looking forward to or interested to see is the matchup between the front runner, I guess it's fair to call him the front runner, Joe Biden, and Senator Elizabeth Warren. They haven't been on the stage together yet. And so I think a lot of people are interested to see how that's going to play itself out.
What were the rules like to get to the 10 on stage? What did they have to clear?
Right. So in the first debate, to get into the first and second debate, the bar was a lot lower. For the first debate, you had to get at least 1% in at least three party-approved polls, like national polls, or you needed to hit a donor level, raise a lower number among donors. For this third debate, and it's going to be the same qualifying for the fourth debate, the bar is higher. And so the candidates needed to receive at least 2% in four of the party-approved polls. And these were just, sort of nationwide polls, something standard polls that we depend upon. Not only that, but they also needed to receive donations from 130 different donors in at least 20 states, with at least 400 donors from each state, okay? And so they had to at least hit 2% in the polls, and they had to raise more money from different donors throughout a wide variety of states,
a minimum
of 20. So the bar was a lot higher, and that sort of explains why the field is a lot smaller this time for the third debate.
We're previewing tonight's Democratic primary debate with political scientist Margaret Hankinson of UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha. What is your take on the DNC's decision to include 10 candidates? Do you think the qualification standards are fair, or should all candidates be included regardless of how they're doing in the polls? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Margaret, you mentioned former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Elizabeth Warren being able to square off there for the first time. I mentioned earlier that Senator Bernie Sanders will be there and Biden will be between Sanders and Warren. Who else will be on stage?
The other folks that will be on stage are coming in fourth would be Kamala Harris. senator from California, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, the mayor from South Bend, Indiana. So when you sort of think about sort of the, at least the way I like to think about it, I think about sort of the top tier candidates are Biden, Sanders, and Warren. And then maybe the second tier candidates would be Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg. Biden, Sanders, and Warren have been consistently polling in the high double digits for at least the last month, month and a half. Harris and Buttigieg, they consistently are polling in the high, like mid-single range. So they are substantially less sort of getting lower polling numbers than the three Biden, Sanders, and Warren, sort of three front runners. Everybody else is who's going to be on that stage is not, I mean, they hit the mark to get on that stage of polling, you know, at least 2%. But they're really, you know, sort of struggling at the 2 to 4%. And that would be former Representative O'Rourke, Senator Cory Booker, former tech executive Andrew Yang, Amy Klobuchar, Senator from Minnesota, and Julian Castro, the former housing, the Secretary of Housing under the Obama administration. So that last year, O'Rourke, Booker, Yang, Klobuchar, Castro, you know, they're polling in the low singles. And so that's at least sort of the other folks that will be on the stage.
Still hanging on, right?
Still hanging on, right, yeah.
Are there some people who, some candidates who are not on the stage tonight that have your attention that we still should be watching for?
Well, I mean, you had asked sort of a question earlier about whether or not I thought that the DNC rules are fair. I do think the DNC's approach, you know, for the first two debates, I think it is good. A lot of people are just trying to figure these candidates out. They want more information. And so I think that it was okay. I mean, I agree that somebody like the self-help author, Marianne Williamson, or Representative Tulsi Gabbard, I think people still sort of have their eyes on those people. The mayor, Bill de Blasio from New York. I think that people are still maybe interested in them. And but those folks are, you know, they weren't able to hit 2% in a lot of those polls. I mean, you know, folks like Gabbard and Williamson and de Blasio and Tim Ryan, you know, they're consistently polling at 1% and sometimes like less than 1%. So I don't know. I mean, I think that, sure, if people want to continue following them and paying attention to them, that's great. There's other avenues to do that. But I think at this point in the process, Iowa's getting closer, New Hampshire's getting closer. I think the voters kind of want to see the candidates that they feel have at least a shot at winning the nomination. And I think the folks who didn't make this third debate, I don't know if it's over for them, but I'm not sure whether they have a realistic shot at winning the nomination.
So for the first time during the Democratic primary process, all 10 qualifying candidates will share a stage tonight in Houston. We're talking about it. We're getting a preview with political scientist Margaret Hankinson. She's at UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha. Do you usually vote one party but still watch the primary debates of the other? What is your take on the DNC's decision to include 10 candidates? Do you think the qualification standards are fair, or should all candidates be included regardless of polling and donor thresholds? Join in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Here with us on the morning show, I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're getting a preview of tonight's three-hour debate. The 10 leading Democratic presidential candidates will take the stage in Houston for the party's third presidential primary debate. This one has all of the highest polling candidates sharing the same stage. As for the format, ABC says candidates will make opening statements but no closing remarks. What remarks do you have about these debates? Do you plan to watch? What do you think of the format? Do you think there should be issue-oriented debates, like for climate or healthcare? Your podium, think of it that way. It's at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Margaret Hankinson is a professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha, and she stays with us. Margaret, the debate is being held at Texas Southern University in Houston. Given the location, what topics do you expect to be discussed?
I think the topics that will be discussed will be sort of similar to topics that were discussed in the past. I guess with the debate being held in Texas, I wouldn't be surprised if immigration and immigration policy would take center stage, or at least would be a part of the questions that are asked. That's not different, though, than from the other first two debates. Immigration in both those debates, I think particularly in the second debate, did take there was a lot of time spent on immigration policy. I think that's really the forte of both Beto O'Rourke and Julian Castro. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to try to have a breakout moment there with focusing on immigration. I also think just because of the recent mass shootings in the United States, I think there will be a focus on gun policy and gun reform in a way that hasn't played center stage or taken, there haven't been a lot of questions in the two previous debates about gun control and gun control issues. That's an issue that the Democrats are very unified on, and I wouldn't be surprised if they might use that as a moment to sort of draw stark differences between the Democratic Party itself and the Republican Party. So, immigration, gun control will definitely be issues that are discussed. I think climate change will be discussed maybe more vigorously in this debate. There was a long town hall meetings that they just recently had on CNN about
like
climate change.
7 hours long.
7 hours long.
Good
and
night.
I will admit, I tuned in just for a little bit of that. It seemed a little overwhelming, and if a political junkie like me had a hard time tuning in, I wouldn't be surprised if other voters would think that that was sort of overwhelming. So this debate stage might be an opportunity to draw out some of those differences that were displayed in that town hall, the long town hall meeting on climate change, to deal with that in maybe a more succinct, focused sort of way.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Liam joining us from Richland, Wisconsin. Hi, Liam.
Hello. Why are they only doing the top 10 polling people in the debate tonight?
You think that all candidates should be on the stage? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for your question, Liam. Margaret?
Yeah, well, these rules are set by the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, and they established these rules several months ago as we moved into the debate cycle. And I think the DNC is trying to strike a balance, the balance between initially having lower bars for people to qualify for the debate so that the Democratic voters and just voters in general can get a real big picture of all the different candidates who are vying for that nomination. I think as we get closer, to the Iowa and the New Hampshire primary, the DNC is wanting to sort of, reduce the number of people that are on those stages. I think Democratic voters we're kind of getting a sense of who the front runners are. I think people want to hear a little bit more from them. And so that's why they've just made the decision to begin winnowing down the number of people that show up on that stage.
Liam, do you watch these debates?
Yes, I do.
What do you watch for? What are you looking for?
For a good president.
And what are the qualities and what are the issues that you are particularly interested in as you watch the debate?
The taxes.
So taxes and how much people pay into the government is an issue to you?
Yes.
Margaret, what are some of those top issues for Americans as they watch where candidates fall, you know, and you know, what their plans are?
Well, the economy, as our caller suggests, is always an issue that is front and center. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, the healthy of the economy, people's sense of, is the economy going in the right direction? That is always front and center. And I think people are sometimes concerned about within the economy, particularly with the Democratic Party, about the gap between the rich and the poor, income inequality, and maybe some redistribution from the very wealthy, you know, to support more middle class folks. And so the economy is always a really strong issue for voters. After that, particularly for young voters, the issue of climate and climate change is a huge issue. I think for a lot of voters, but particularly for young voters, climate change and gun control are and climate change in particular, I think, is superseding concerns about the economy, particularly for younger voters.
We're previewing tonight's Democratic primary debate with political scientist Margaret Hankinson of UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha. Will you be watching? What will you be watching for tonight if you do watch? 800-642-1234. Margaret, Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have similar platforms. And in their last debate on stage together, they really didn't criticize each other. They backed each other up. Do you think that will change tonight?
I really don't think that that will change tonight. I think that Elizabeth Warren doesn't really have a lot to gain from attacking Bernie Sanders, right? If anything, she probably, you know, her and Bernie are friends. They've known each other. They're on the same page with a lot of issues. So if I were Warren, I wouldn't expend energy trying to differentiate myself from Sanders. If I were Warren, what I would do is I would try to be not aggressive towards Joe Biden, because that really did not play well for Kamala after the first debate. She went after Joe Biden, and while she got a little bit of a bump immediately after that debate, she lost that bump before she even got to the second debate. So if I were Warren, I would try to differentiate myself from Biden, without attacking. But if I were Warren, I would not go after Sanders, and I don't expect her to do that tonight.
How much did the previous debates affect the campaigns and polling? Do we know?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Political science data and research indicates that primary debates have a little bit of an effect on polling, you know, maybe between 1% and 2%. You can see if you do well in the debates, you can, you know, begin to rise up in the polls. There's so many other factors that contribute whether people are doing well in the polls. You always want to do well in a debate, right? But whether or not it's going to profoundly change people's minds, the research doesn't really bear that out. However, at this point, you look at the recent Marquette poll and for Wisconsin itself, and there are a lot of people who still don't know a lot about some of the second-tier candidates. And so people know a lot about Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden in Wisconsin, but there's a large percentage of people who, even Elizabeth Warren, say they don't know enough about her, Kamala Harris, and Pete Buttigieg. There's a lot of people who still don't know a lot about those candidates. So for the debates, for those who really haven't been paying attention, this is a good opportunity for those candidates to break out a little bit, explain themselves to the voters, and to fill in that gap of people not really knowing who they are. And so I think that for the debates, that works well for informing voters, particularly early on in the stage.
So I think if I have the calendar right here, we have three more Democratic presidential debates scheduled this year. Next one is in October in Ohio. Then there's Iowa caucus happening early February. So this is going to be a long road, Margaret. And can we get in at different exits and junctures here?
A lot of people still aren't paying attention, right? And they'll start paying attention. I think people begin starting to pay attention more But after Iowa, and when we see a candidate like Pete Buttigieg could potentially not win Iowa, but do a lot better in Iowa than people thought, you know, a candidate's going to benefit from how they do in Iowa and how they do in New Hampshire, how they do in South Carolina. So I think we'll know more moving forward. This is still sort of the exploratory stage, I think, for a lot of voters, not just in Wisconsin, but in the nation.
Well, Margaret, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was great to be here.
Margaret Hankinson is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Waukesha, and she teaches American government and civil liberties. Coming up, suicide continues to grow as a public health issue in Wisconsin. How do you have tough discussions about suicide? How can we talk about serious mental health issues more openly? What language have you heard that might stigmatize suicide? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll talk about this after a news update on the Ideas Network.